Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of part two of developing intimacy through a love relationship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of developing intimacy through a love relationship.
We're going to continue on with our series that we've been doing in pursuit of intimacy with God. And we've been talking about over these last, I believe it's 2 months now, how we can be intimate with God. And we've come to the place last week where we started a message on how to develop a love relationship with God. You know, how can we, as we pursue this intimacy with God, how can we develop a love relationship with Him? You can go to the next slide. And we said that God loves us. No question about that. If we are in a love relationship, that it's a two-way thing. That God loves us and we love God. How does God love us? And we looked at this last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We said that for God, He took the initiation to love us. That when we had no idea, no thought about seeking or serving Him, that God took the initiative. That's how much He loves us. That He so loved, the immeasurability of God's love. You can't measure the love by which God loved us. The world, the incredibility of God's love. That God loved a world of people who would ball their fist up and shake it in His face. That's incredible. That He gave His only begotten Son, the imputation of God's love. That God took our sin and gave us the righteousness of Christ. That's how much He loved us. That whosoever believed in Him, the impartiality of God's love. That God's love knows no respect of person. That who should not perish but have everlasting life. The invincibility of God's love. And that is that God's love is indestructible, and those who are recipients of God's love will never be separated from it. How does God love us? We continued on by talking about, the next slide, the ways God shows His love for us. And again, I'm just reviewing what we talked about last week. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, provision, justice, and revelation. Those are all found in the 103rd Psalm when we talk about the ways that God loves us. Okay, next slide. His love is shown for us in grace and mercy. The ways that, and we looked at verses 8 through 18 as we looked at His grace and mercy. And then we said that now the other side of it is that we love God. That He loves us, but now we love Him. And how do we love God? And we started talking about ways last week that we can love God. Thinking about Him, singing to Him, thanking Him, obeying Him. And in this week, we want to talk about adoring Him. We want to talk about adoring God. The following words that I'm going to read, many of you may think that they're in the Bible, that they are scripture. But as I go through, it will ring a note with some of you, old school people, as to where this comes from. But the words go like this. In your arms, I find the kind of peace of mind the world is searching for. But you give me the joy this heart of mine has been longing for. In you, I have what others long for. Everyone needs someone to worship and adore. That's why I treasure you and place you high above, for the only joy in life is to be loved. So whatever you do, keep on loving me. And y'all know the name of the song, right? Bernadette. I like what he says here. He's talking to this lady named Bernadette, and he's telling her how much he loves her. And he says in the song, everyone needs someone to worship and adore. We want to talk about this morning worshiping and adoring God. And as we talk about worshiping and adoring God, I have used the word adore. And we're going to take each letter from the word adore and talk about how we can deepen our intimacy with God, how we can work on this love relationship that we are to be in with the Lord. The A stands for admire, that we need to gaze upon his beauty. That's infatuation. Turn to Psalm 27 in verse 4. Many people who are in a love relationship, there's admiration. There is the whole idea of looking upon the beauty of the other person. In the 27th Psalm, in verse 4, David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice what his desire. He is so much in love with his God that his desire is to just go into the house of the Lord and look at the beauty of the Lord, to gaze at, to study, to meditate on the beauty of God. Now, this is a very interesting concept, and the reason that it's interesting is because this word gaze in the Hebrew has a parallel word in the Song of Solomon. Keep your finger there in Psalm 27 and turn to the Song of Solomon. This is powerful. The Song of Solomon, chapter 6. The Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and verse 13. Look what it says here. This is deep, man. This is really deep. In verse 13, it says, return, return, O Shulamite. Return that we may look, look. Guess what the same Hebrew word is in Psalm 27:4? Gaze, behold, all right? That we may behold, that we may look at. He says, return, O Shulamite, that we may look at you. As it were, the companies of two armies. And then in chapter 7, they're looking at the bride, and look what it says. This shows that this word look means to take more than just a casual look, that this word look means more than just take a glance, because this look right here becomes very descriptive. And if you're under 18, I'm going to ask you to close your ears right now. He says in verse 7, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. Now, what does this mean? This means that there's some meditation, there's some thought, there's some not just glancing at, but is studying. What did they say in chapter 6, verse 3? That we may look upon you. Verse 2, thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about the lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is like a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon by the gates of Beth Rabin. Thy nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thy head upon thee is like Carmel, and thy hair of thy head like purple. The king is held in the tresses. Now, think about this for a minute. Where do you get that kind of description from? You get that kind of description from being intimate and from beholding the beauty of another person. David says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And look at this, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, my question to you this morning is this. Could you describe the beauty of the Lord the way that they described the Shulamite woman? There was detail. There was meditation. And any of us, if we are in an intimate relationship with God, we ought to be able to describe his beauty. If somebody came up to you and said, tell me about the beauty of God. See, you're not going to know it unless you gaze upon it, unless you look upon it. When I think of Isaiah 53, it's very easy to miss the beauty of the Lord. Why is that? Because in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no what? Beauty that we should desire him. So it's very easy to miss the beauty of the Lord. And the only way that you're going to see the beauty of God is to meditate on it. To sit back and think about the perfection of God's beauty. How that in his grace, he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. Behold the beauty of the Lord that has saved my soul. To sit back and meditate on the mercy of God, that when I'm in trouble, he reaches down and pulls me out. To sit back and meditate on the mercy of God. And that if somebody was to say to you, describe the beauty of the Lord, that you would be able to say, oh, his grace is so rich and is so deep. Oh, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, his truth, it endures to all generations. Oh, his grace, his truth, his mercy, his faithfulness is beyond the heavens. And that you will be able to explain the beauty of the Lord because you are in an intimate relationship with him and you have taken a long look at him. As we think about the beauty of the Lord, it never fades. It never goes away. The beauty of people, we can do all that we can. We can dye our hairs. We can add to our hair. We can put all kind of lotions on that preserve us. We can eat right and all this other stuff. And all those things do help. But the fact is that no matter how fast you try to run by doing all those things, Father Time is going to catch up with you. He's going to run you down. But the beauty of the Lord, your beauty. You know, I tell people, and I've said it here before, I used to be like Superman, right? You know, I could bend steel with my bare hands. More powerful than a speeding locomotive. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, that's Pastor Glaze. No, I can't even lift my arm. Your beauty is going to fade, man. But God's beauty never fades. It never deceives. People here on this earth, they can mask their beauty with all kind of products. You can mask your beauty. But the beauty of God cannot be masked. But it comes through. And so if we are going to be in a love relationship with the Lord, there must first be admiration. Do you admire God? Do you sit and do you look at him? And again, somebody say, well, how do you look at God? I would say a couple weeks ago, I did a thing and I passed out a sheet on the attributes of God. And I think we listed about 9 attributes. If you just get that sheet and look at that sheet on the attributes of God and you admire them, that's what it means to admire God. And you see how a love relationship can develop out of that? You know, how does a love relationship develop between two people? It develops because they admire one another. They gaze at each other's beauty. There might not be too much beauty in us, but there's a whole lot of beauty to see in God. The A stands for admire. The D stands for delight. That you have to, if you're in a love relationship with God, that you have to delight in him. That means that you find pleasure and joy with God. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. And it says here, delight thyself in the Lord. And see, the problem is that we want to rush on to the next part of the verse. And we want to focus on that. And we forget about the fact that he said, delight thyself. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means to find pleasure and joy in him. It means to be intoxicated with his love. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of intoxication that we see people doing on Saturday night. You know, I'm talking about a wholesome intoxication. I'm talking about being, as one singer said, that if there's a cure for this, I don't want it. I don't want it. A love hangover with God. That you are finding your joy, that you are finding your delight, you are getting satisfaction, you are getting gratification, you are getting pleasure because you are in a love relationship with God. See, if I'm in a love relationship with God, and my delight and my joy is in him, then it'll always be there. But if my joy is in my money, and I don't have money, then guess what? My joy is gone. If my joy is in possessions and my possessions are gone, then I don't have joy. I was reading the story about one man. It said he wanted more money, so he parlayed his inheritance into $1 billion wealth. He wanted more fame, so he broke into the Hollywood scene and soon became a filmmaker and a star. He wanted more sensual pleasures, so he paid a handsome price to indulge his every sexual urge. He wanted more thrills, so he built and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. He wanted more power, so he dealt political favors and influenced 2 United States presidents. And yet and still, in all that when he died, his life was emaciated. His skin was colorless. His chest was sunken in. His fingernails grew to a grotesque length where they curled up and just, he was unkempt. He had rotting teeth. He had tumors. And he had a drug addiction. I'm talking about Howard Hughes. He died believing the myth that more would give him joy and delight. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. He looked for his delight in this world. He looked for his joy in this world, and he found it not. My brothers and sisters, if we are in a love relationship with God, then we need to find our delight, our joy in him. He ought to make us happy. I remember one morning I went to the gym to work out, and I didn't see my wife before I left. She was still asleep. And afterwards, after I left the gym, I went to the store to buy something. And as I was shopping in the store, guess who I saw? My wife. And it's like my whole countenance lit up. There goes my wife. It was that joy, that delight. And so God wants us to be the same way. That if we are in a relationship with him, that when we come into his presence, that there ought to be some delight that we get out of it. There ought to be a quickening of the spirit. You know, no matter if we are heavy of heart, you might come to God heavy of heart. You might come to God, as the songwriter said, weary, worn, and sad. You might come to God that way. But there ought to be something in you that lights up when you come into his presence, because you realize that I'm in the presence of somebody that I'm in love with. I'm in the presence of somebody who I find my joy and I find my delight in. We're talking about this morning, how can you be in a love relationship with God? You admire, you delight, and then the next thing is ovation. And that is that you give God a hand clap of recognition for what he does. That's appreciation. Look at Psalm 47 in verse 1. Psalm 47 in verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. I realize that people worship different ways. I understand that. And, you know, some people, you know, we were watching a video a couple weeks ago where people were dancing. I mean, and they were dancing unto the Lord, dancing with all their heart. And that was their way of worshiping God. Some people sit and just kind of meditate. Some people, when they want to show their appreciation to God, they give a hand clap. The psalmist says here, however you do it, he says give a hand clap, but I'm saying give an ovation. And the ovation can be a hand clap, and God has given us other ways to show our appreciation to him. That he has, watch this. When I was down and out, God gave me a hand. When I didn't have anything but the clothes on my back, God gave me a hand. When I ran out of gas in the middle of the night, God gave me a hand. And with all the hands that God has given me, surely I can give him a hand. Surely I can give him some praise. Surely I can do as the psalmist says here, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That when you really appreciate somebody, that you recognize what they do. I remember I was watching one of my favorite preachers. He's gone on to glory now, Dr. E.V. Hill. And Dr. Hill pastored a church out in Los Angeles, California.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 2 of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries.